Hi, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Elliot.
We're hosts of Bad Dad, Rad Dad, a Snack Labs podcast where we look for better dads one movie at a time. Every week, we talk about the movies we watched, the thoughts and feelings they brought up in us, and the best and worst dads we found in them.
Our weekly movie picks can span decades, genres, languages, and more. Plus, we keep it totally spoiler-free so you can discover movies that you want to watch.
So join us every Thursday on our silly little movie journey to hear about the movies we watched that week.
And the dads they made us wish we had. Because
my dad's dead.
And my dad's a deadbeat.
But as far as we're concerned,
not all dads have to be bad.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hi, baby.
Hello, my love.
still holding on to that one to start. I like it. I'm still into it. Yeah, feels good.
Me too.
Feels good. Feels good. You know what feels good?
What?
This fucking week feels good, man.
Why does this week feel good?
I'm on a feel good week.
Oh, that's...
feels good because, well, this has nothing to do with this podcast, but it feels good because, and if you want to know more about this, tune into Sick Boy all next week. Trikafta, this little miracle drug for CF patients, has been officially approved or sent through for approval in Canada, which means that we are closer, a lot closer to a day where I can get my hands on this drug. And for people who aren't aware, this drug is, it's not quite a cure, but it's pretty fucking close. It's the next best thing. So it's a pretty like, got the news yesterday. No, fuck man. I don't even know. Like this week, this week is just like, my mind's kind of like fucked, but yeah, I got the news a couple days ago and, on Monday, that's right. They announced it on Monday and it still hasn't really sunk in, but it's like, it's really, really crazy that this is happening.
And you didn't mention to our listeners what it is a cure for. So maybe we should tell people about the
pimples. Okay, whoa. Oh, no.
What? What's it a cure for?
It's a cure for cystic fibrosis. Well, it's not a cure, but it's a. I mean, like, long story short, it's a medication for people living with cystic fibrosis. Mm-hmm. But it's what's called a precision med or a modular medication. And so instead of treating the symptoms of cystic fibrosis, it's actually treating at the source. So it's basically a drug that sort of goes in and literally repairs your genes.
Whoa.
So like the genetic mutation that I have in my body that makes my body suck so much, that is CF. It goes in and it's, it repairs those genes to a point where my body can function much more efficiently. And in that there's like crazy, crazy improvements that will happen all the way across the board. And actually, you know what? Here's a little way I can tie this into Termion. So, you know, with cystic fibrosis, my lungs suck, right? My lungs are constantly filling with fluids, mucus, or ASL, airway surface liquid. And so that's like a breeding ground for bacteria where I'm, you know, constantly worried about getting severe lung infections. You can go get your charger while I say all this. My organs are all fucked up. So like my pancreas doesn't produce the enzymes that my body needs to break down foods. So I'm, you know, I take like 40 pills a day, every single day, just to, you know, maintain and avoid malnutrition, maintain body weight and whatever. So there's all, and you know, there's all these weird things that happen in the body. But one of the big things is that a huge percentage, like 97 or 98% of people with CF are infertile. And I'm not a doctor. Don't fucking quote me. If you are a doctor, termionpodcast@gmail.com. You can correct me if you want. But what I think it is that so I have sperm, but they're just trapped in my balls. And the highway that my sperm would use to get out of my Johnson into a ripe and hungry ovary, that highway is blocked up with mucus. Basically, it's like the highway is closed, so there's no way to get through. Yeah. Now I don't know this. I need to talk to a physician because I don't know this. But Trikafta might reverse that. So I've been going around shooting loads all willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Not having
to
worry about
it. Get it out of your system while you can, because soon you're going to have to wrap it up.
I might have to. So I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm going to have to look into it. Anyway, that's one thing that happened this week that I'm fucking stoked about.
He's going to live forever.
Not stoked about that, but... we'll see. but then the other thing is today we got an email from somebody that exists who wants to be on the show. So for Turn Me On. So we had a guest, a request to be a guest on the show. And I'm not going to say who it is because I don't want to jinx it because I want this to happen. But let's just say it is someone who I am very familiar with. And when I say very familiar with, I mean very familiar with a lot of this person's anatomy. And I have becocked a lot of becock just by looking at this person. And I am over the moon and giddy. And also, I don't know what to, like, I don't
You're
know if
I'm not allowed into this episode. You're not allowed into that recording.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle it. Like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to talk to this person without going... you have no idea how much I've...
bend over and show me your butthole.
They don't need to. I fucking know exactly what that butthole looks like. I am very familiar. I don't need to see it. I've seen it more than most buttholes. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited to talk to this person because A...
so excited to put a face to that butthole.
Oh my God. Well, no, I know the face too. Look, I've seen it all.
All of the whole package.
Anyway, I'm just so excited.
What a great week you're having.
I know.
You're going to live forever.
I'm going to live forever.
And you're going to talk to somebody you've touched off to a lot.
Talk to one of my favorite buttholes. And I'm in love. And I'm fucking in love. It's been a good week.
That is great news. I've been having a really good week, too.
And Donald Trump isn't the fucking president anymore.
Well, that's good news.
I mean, fuck yeah.
We're on the up and up.
Sorry, I cut you off. I mean, I had to throw that in there because we haven't, you know, we're not a political podcast, but fuck that Cheeto dusted piece of shit. He's out. The older dude's in. We're a little better off than we were. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh God. Yeah, that's it. The world. The you know there is something to it though. You know, for the amount of people on the planet, and especially close by to us that are, you know, feeling very relieved.
Oh my God, I'd say
that's out there in the universe. That's making everybody's week a little better than it could be, could have been. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I feel good as well. I feel like I've been doing a really good job at taking care of myself lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been, how have you been, finding a routine? Are you like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a routine. I have several routines, but, each of my days are pretty much like consistent day to day. They include, not always in this order, but frequently in this order, like wake up, some coffee, then I do some exercise, some meditation. Exercise might be like a lot of walking or running. I've been getting outside as much as possible, just knowing that probably lockdowns are coming and the winter is coming and we're going to be stuck in our houses and just like making sure that and the weather's been amazing. And
it was 20 degrees yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Supposed to go to 25 today.
Dude, I mean, my body is like, yes. My mind is like, this is not good.
Yeah. And then the other things that I have been doing to take care of myself are I've been masturbating a lot more.
Cool.
And like really like mindfully, like really taking my time with it. I read the other day, fuck, where was I reading this about clitoral or not clitoral cervical orgasms?
Nicole Dubel, our friend who's been on the show a couple of times, I think she wrote that article. Are you talking it was an article about it was an article that I believe was that came out through Double Blind, and it was talking about cervical orgasms, and it had a link with DMT. Are you talking about that article?
Exactly.
Yeah,
that was the one. Nicole, so I was reading about that, and I was like, well, I got to try to have one of these. Yeah, I remember that now.
How does that work? Can you explain that to me?
No, I haven't had one yet.
Right, but like, I get the idea of like a clitoral orgasm, mm-hmm. and I get the idea of a G-spot orgasm. And I also, from what I gather, the two are the same thing. Like it's the G-spot is still the clitoris. Like the clitoris is this giant massive thing on the inside of you. Is the cervical orgasm tied to the overall build of the clitoris?
I don't think so. No, I think it's a separate thing. I mean, I don't know for sure, but it seems like it requires deep penetration. And like sort of the same sort of like rubbing of the G-spot. It's like a similar, it seems like it's like a pressure based like rubbing of the cervix. And I guess the more aroused you get, she was saying like, or maybe I read up on this after I read that article, but the more aroused you get, the sort of deeper the vagina becomes. So the cervix gets further away from the opening is what I was gathering. So it does require some like deep penetration and a lot of concentration. Like I get, it says the sensation is like a shower of stars.
Geez, that sounds pleasant.
Yeah. And I feel like I've probably experienced that feeling before in orgasm, but I just think of it as like a really strong orgasm. My suspicion is that I've had a cervical orgasm before, but
just didn't know.
But I didn't know it.
Right.
So yeah, I was kind of like, I'm really into this idea that like I could extend the duration of my orgasms, but also like the, just like the physiology. Like I feel like I could like harness the power of my orgasms a little, more efficiently. And, and joyfully. And so I've been taking time, like taking a lot of time. Whenever I think about it, it's as something that's like, this is worth like an hour of my time for sure, is to go in and take some time for myself and try to figure this out. So I've been really enjoying that. And as a result, I think, I don't know if it's that or if it's accumulation of all kinds of things, but my sex drive is in like way, way up. And some of our friends listening will be like, it's Scorpio season and it's the sexiest season. And that's when you get it on. But I don't know if that's because I don't want to think of it as a season. I want it to, I'm clinging. I'm like, yeah, I want to keep this for a long time, but it might be, it might just be the sort of,
Hold on. Does that, I look, I know I've been reading tarot lately and I've turned a bit of a corner when it comes to the woo-woo to a degree, However, does that mean, is what you're saying mean like, oh, well, every November, everyone's going to get like, Scorpio season's every November, I'm guessing? Must be.
I am. Well, yes, I would imagine Scorpio season is the same every year. I'm just looking for a survival guide to Scorpio season by allure.com.
Okay. All right. Anyway.
It's the spookiest, sexiest, most controversial time of year.
Huh.
Running from October 23rd to November 22nd, Scorpio season is Halloween time, election day, and the birthday of millions of Scorpios hiding in dark corners of the world with their stingers poised to strike.
Ooh. Ooh.
It's a water sign. Water is the element that rules emotions, and Scorpio has plenty of them. Scorpios are intense, mysterious, brooding, emotional, and sexual creatures who are not afraid to use their stinger. If you have dated one or are one, you already understand that there is nothing chill at all about this sign. Even the most evolved Scorpios can still fall into a fit of jealousy over an ex's Instagram post.
Okay.
They are also, however, loyal, honest, and typically fantastic in bed. So we have a lot of we have a lot of Scorpios in our lives. I've always had a lot of Scorpios in my lives. Yeah, in my life. Yeah.
I actually don't know that. Oh, actually, my friend Emily's a Scorpio, I guess.
Yeah, and Britt, fuck, and
whoa,
Jen.
Actually, now that you say that, everything you just read, that is my friend M.
Mm-hmm.
She will use her stinger.
What does that mean? How do you interpret that? Like, she's like a bit of like vengeful?
I mean that in I shouldn't be talking about Emily on the show, but I mean that in the she's very forward. She's very unfiltered. She speaks her mind. She's a pretty sexually charged human. And yeah.
What are you again, a Capricorn?
I'm a Capricorn.
Okay, so here is this is from Oprah magazine, and it's by Channy Nicholas, who like all of the woo-woo lovers love.
Cool.
She's an astrologist, and this is how each of the signs will be affected by Scorpio season. So I'm just going to read yours to you, and you can tell me what you think.
Yeah.
Scorpio season focuses at least some of your attention on the connections that help you feel whole. Friends, communities, networks, and organizations that galvanize your spirit and psyche. What becomes obvious is that collective endeavors that lend your life a sense of meaning are, in fact, magic. Witches may live on the outskirts, but they always have a coven. Take note of yours, how to tend to it, and be patient with it. The most powerful spells are cast with the group's focused intention, care, and action.
Huh. What
do you think?
It's very interesting.
Relevant?
It is kind of relevant because the word of the day these days for myself has been patience. I've been working with the term patience a lot. So that's very interesting. Yeah, very interesting indeed. I'm into it. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, mine's pretty relevant too.
Oh yeah? Let's hear it.
This is what it says. Don't let the ghosts of what you haven't yet gotten to haunt you. This is no time to play comparison bingo. Scorpio season wants you to focus on the goals that fuel you from the inside. Come the end of the month, the full moon highlights the innovative ways in which you need to break down big projects into bite-sized pieces. Mm. Don't be afraid of changing up your schedule or adding a new routine. Conversations that you find revelatory also come quickly. Take notes, as these kinds of messages don't come around every day.
Okay.
So yeah, I feel like that. I feel good. I don't know. That I just interpret that as
feeling good.
Sounding good, but yeah, if you want to check out your own sign, it's just going over to oprahmag.com
Oprah.
Or Google. This Scorpio season brings a blue moon and unearths the mysteries of our lives by Chandy Nichols.
Very cool. Cool. Well, things are good. Things are going good. It's nice to hear this. You know, I think sometimes we bring our gloom and doom onto the show with our if we're having a bad week, and I feel like we're having a really great week. This is really good. I like this. This is really good.
Hey, so, let's read a.
Well, before we do, there's something that I wanted to say to you, but also to our listeners. So you know our friends over at Intamo Pleasurables. We've done ads for them on the show. And full disclosure, what I'm about to say is not a paid ad. Although they have put ads on our show, but because through that partnership, I've actually like come to really fall in love with the whole crew over at Intamo, and I just want to give them a quick little shout out because they recently opened up a boutique, like a sex store.
Yeah.
Now they're on the West Coast. Sorry, go ahead.
I was looking at their toys. Yeah. Earlier today in bed while I was drinking my coffee.
Oh, really? Well, I think you're going to hear what I say. Pretty interesting. they've got a sex shop that they opened up, and they're Canadian. They're on the West Coast of Canada, and I just want to say, you know, we had Zoe Ligon on the show. We were talking about her sex store located in the U.S. And you know, great fucking. Great store. They're doing awesome shit. I feel like Intamo Pleasurables Boutique is kind of like Canada's version of Zoe's shop.
Cool.
They're really awesome. They have a focus on women, queer, and BIPOC owned products only. And on top of that, they're selling their own lube out of their store. And if you've listened to the ads in the past or you heard anything from the past, their lube is fucking amazing. And I love it.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So I implore you to go check them out on Instagram, Intamo Pleasure Boutique. I bought a toy from them.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. One of the first toys that I've ever bought.
For you?
Yes and no. It's for me to use, but not to use on me. Okay. It's called La Wand. It's a bit pricey. It's kind of bougie. It's like a bougie version of the wand, the Hitachi.
And what's it called?
It's called Le Wand.
Petite, it's called La Wand.
Petite massager. La Wand.
Okay.
And so it came in about a month ago, and I've been using it. I've been using it with my partner, and I just want to say this thing is, it's great. It's awesome. It's nice and light. It's small. It's nice and light. Yeah. It's not like, you know, it's much smaller than like the Hitachi. It's very pretty. It's very pretty looking.
It is pretty. It's like pink.
Yeah. I got the rose gold one. It's very pretty. It's apparently, I mean, I can't speak for the feeling of it, but from what I've heard is that it has a pretty good strength of vibration. It's not super loud, which is kind of nice. You know, if you're someone who has roommates or something and you want to keep it discreet. So anyway, I've been having a lot of fun with it, and I just want to say thank you, Intamo, for they were really sweet. They also gave me some more lube with it, so it was very, very sweet of them. Anyway, just want to say my little review of the Le Wand petit massager. Is
that's
I think it's
so.
I'm having a lot of fun.
So
with
good
it.
To know.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're looking to spice things up in the bedroom with a pal, and you want to use a toy on someone, go check that one out.
Oh man, I haven't bought a new toy. So I was looking at they have these like, I guess they're dildos.
The ones that are shaped identical to the inside of a vagina?
Yeah.
Yeah, those look cool, eh?
They look like myself as a teenager would have wanted to collect all these. This is like one with butterflies printed on it, you know, one with that looks like a lava lamp.
Well, yeah, here I can if you go to patreon.com/turnmeon, you can actually see what we're talking about here. Because we are now recording, video recording all of our episodes. I'm going to bring this little ditty up here because it's a really cool toy. And here's the other thing about that toy specifically, Bride. It's called a Jolette. When I DM'd the gang over at in Tamla Pleasurables before I made my purchase. And they were so kind as to kind of walk me through what I might be interested in. And so they were talking about the Le Petit wand massager, but also they were saying that the Gillette is like a big hit. You can see it here. What does it say? It's intuitive shape designed to fit the vagina perfectly. Standing at 7.5 inches tall, the Gillette is sure to become a favorite. The penis-like head widens to a 1.8 diameter bulge, designed for G-spot stimulation. The shaft then tapers gradually into two clitoral stimulating ridges at the bottom. I think what they did was everybody's body is different, but I think the idea behind it is that it's been shaped like identical to the inside of a vagina,
mm-hmm.
Which is like according to the review from the folks at Intamo, they were like, this thing is the bee's fucking knees, feel so good. And look how like pretty these are. Like, you know, you got all these pretty designs. They're really, they're really cool.
I know. What I'm saying. Like as a teenager, I was like, these are like, these hippie designs.
This one
like
here is awesome. Totally the leopard print one. Like, I guess that's leopard print, right? Like that's, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, Intamo Pleasures Boutique.com. If you want to check that out, or just go to Intamo Pleasure Boutique on Instagram. That was not a paid ad. It is literally my love for them. That is all it is. So if you're trying to support Canadian and you want to support, you want to support women, queer and BIPOC owned products, that's where you get it.
These Gillettes, that we're talking about, they are actually, all of the products are made in Arizona, and this is what it says on the Intamo PleasurableBoutique.com website. It says, Luzart, I guess is the name of the creator. Luzart is a woman-owned business, and all of her products are made in Arizona. So that's kind of nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you'll be supporting Canada, and you'll be supporting women and or queer or BIPOC.
Everybody loves good neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Let's read that. Let's read that that brain boner that we can't really answer now because it got answered on its own.
It's been answered. I was going to segue from the great week that you and I are having into the great week that this listener is having.
Yeah, right.
So they originally reached out just after Scorpio season began on October 24th. And
very telling.
The subject. The subject of this email, I'm just checking. I'm not going to say her name. Subject of this email, brain boner. I've got a COVID lockdown crush on my roommate. Hello, you wonderful people. My heart's all a flutter. My brain's tangled and confused, and I need your help. My new roommate moved in 2 months ago. We didn't know each other beforehand. He came from Montreal to finish the last year of his master's program. I moved to Gatineau a year ago and don't know many people in the area. I found him on Kijiji thinking we'd get along. Well, I was right. Mm-hmm. We get along really well. Too well, in fact. We spend night after night having these deep, wonderful conversations. He's smart, emotional, understanding. I'm comfortable opening up to him. He makes me laugh. We sit on the couch next to each other, slowly moving closer, leaning in. Our arms or hands or feet will touch for a second and sparks fly. We pull back. It's like being in junior high when you're so scared to make a move. To complicate things even more, our city has been on full lockdown for 3 weeks and probably will be for months to come. He still goes out into the world every day to use the rehearsal space on campus, but I'm working from home. He's pretty much the only person I get to see. The few friends I have in the city have families and bubbles that I understandably can't be included in. I feel like I can't trust these feelings, like they might be coming up because I'm so isolated. On the other hand, if they are real, how the heck do I pursue a relationship with someone I already live with? With love. Okay.
So, I mean,
so that one came in. That's October 24th.
Like, I just want to say if we just got that and that was the only brain boner.
Yeah.
My answer would have been try it out.
Jump those bones.
Yeah, try it out. See what happens.
Okay, but then we got this response on October 29th, a full 5 days later.
I didn't even see the dates. That's fucking great.
Regarding the brain boner, I've got a COVID lockdown crush on my roommate. Never mind. I'm just horny. So the roommate left on Saturday to visit his family for the week. My neighbor invited me over for dinner. We had some wine, danced, bachata. I don't know what that means. Danced bachata and hooked up. It was exactly what I needed. He made me squirt, which I had no idea was possible for me. I was so into it that at one point I fell out of bed and lightly fractured my wrist.
Jesus.
Didn't stop us for long. The neighbor isn't looking for anything serious, which is perfect. The whole experience has reminded me how important physical touch and sex are in my life. I feel calmer, more grounded, more confident. When I don't have it in my life, I can be too impulsive with my emotions. I'm not closing the door completely on the roommate crush, but I feel like I can examine it much more rationally now. Take care. So that was almost 2 weeks ago. I feel like we need another update.
Hopefully they're listening and we get an idea of maybe the roommate came back and she was like, I was just horny, but hey, do you want to fuck now too? Like, who knows? I don't know, but that's it's really exciting. Do you want to know what the bachata is? Do you want to see the bachata?
Yes, please tell me what the bachata was. All right,
so here is, and again, turn me on Patreon, patreon.com/turnmeon if you want to see the bachata right now.
Show me the bachata.
This is
the bachata.
Here we go, ready? I mean, that would make me squirt. Look at that shit.
Well, yeah, like there's so much hips in that.
Oh, yeah.
I could just feel that. Like,
ooh,
just,
I like that. I like that move there. This is nice.
Where's the bachata come from in the world?
I'm going to guess some sort of Portuguese or Spanish country.
Yeah.
Where does bachata come from?
Dominican Republic.
Am I totally wrong on that?
That's what Wikipedia says.
Right. What's the native tongue in Dominican Republic?
Question. Hang on. Please hold.
Bachata is a genre of Latin American music that originated in the Dominican Republic in the first half of the 20th century with primarily Spanish influences and also remnants of indigenous and African musical elements representative of the cultural diversity of the Dominican Republic population. So there you go. It's a pretty diverse spot.
Spanish is the official language.
Cool. It's very funny. Sexy. We just this recording will come out. I don't know, sometime down the road. But we just got off. We just got off a recording before this with a sex and relationships therapist, and one of the things that she was saying was that relationships are like a dance. And dancing is hard if you don't know how to dance. And I really liked that analogy because, yeah, relationships are hard if you don't know how to communicate, if you don't know how to relationship. And when I see dancing like that, I always look at that and go, ooh, I'll never be able to do that. But then I look at our relationship and, you know, like 10 years ago, I would have said, polyamory, ooh, I'll never be able to do that. But it just takes time and it just takes practice and it just takes
and
honing
it just
a skill.
Takes a few bachata lessons before you two can be squirting your way into neighborly bliss.
Squirting and breaking your wrist.
Yeah. Okay. So I think it's fair to say that Scorpio season is all about getting all of those, sorting the emotions from the sexual impulses and at least just being able to go, well, you know, it's Scorpio season, so
yeah, it
makes sense.
Well, let's
there are some people that don't like to dance. Do you know that?
Yeah. Yeah, there's some people that don't like music. So, you know, fuck those people.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk. Let's throw it to this conversation.
yeah. Great. So we're gonna check to our conversation here with our guests Riley and Cameron. They are a power couple. A couple out of the good old United States of America in the state of Oregon, and they are both sex workers who work individually but also work together. And we had a lovely conversation with the two of them about their work, how they got into their work, the ins and outs of the work that they do, and how it has played a role in the relationship dynamics. It was a really cool conversation. So without further ado, here's our conversation with Riley and Cameron.
This has been a long time in the making. I'm just going to check our first conversation. Actually, our first conversation started at the end of August, so that's not actually that far away.
It feels a long way.
It does.
In quarantine time, it's like, wasn't it a year ago?
Yeah, I feel like a month. I mean, like since March, I feel like the span of a month feels like the span of a decade.
Yes.
And every month is just getting longer and longer.
Yes.
We were just talking, Riley and Cameron, we were just talking before the mic started rolling about, you're calling from, Portland, Oregon, and a very interesting time in the US right now. We were just discussing, as we're recording this, I think there's still no, settlement on who has won the U.S. presidential election.
Yeah.
What a dumpster fire of a situation.
Exactly.
But you know what? That's not what our podcast is about. Our podcast is about sex and relationships and sexuality. And I know I generally don't know a goddamn thing coming into these recordings about what we're talking about, but I do, I think, and I hope I got this right. Cause if I don't, I'm probably going to have my foot in my mouth. I believe, the two of you, Cameron and Riley, are partners together, but also work together,
right?
And are also sex workers.
Yeah. So we are partners in real life, and we were partnered before we both entered sex work, and we work as sex workers together and individually. So we started first as professional dominatrixes, and then we also transitioned or expanded into doing companionship and escorting work. And we do that, as I said, both individually and together at different times.
Whoa. Okay, so Bridie, I mean, you go ahead. I have tons of questions.
well, can we take it back to like what basically, you know, when Jeremy and I started this podcast, it was, we were really fascinated by people's like origin stories was one thing we used to ask people a lot about. You know, people would say, how did you guys end up doing a sex podcast, or being in a polyamorous relationship? And my inclination would be like, well, back when I was 6 years old, I, you know, because I feel like it's a cumulative thing that happens after, like, just the way experience shifts and bends you where you end up. And so I wonder if you would, if you're comfortable with it, take us back to sort of your origin stories and how you were formed in such a way to be inclined to get into sex work.
Yeah. Riley and I have been together for
lifetimes.
About 5 years. You can count it as lifetimes, just depending on all the stuff we've been through together. We started doing sex work together because we, you know, we found ourselves in this place of the idea of like necessity breeds ingenuity, right? We're both like very educated people who are highly often overqualified for a lot of the positions that we could work in if we were looking to work in capitalism. And we were sitting one night and we were just like, wow, you know, what are the ways in which, despite our degrees, despite all of our previous work and how long our CVs are, what can we do that offers the world that makes us feel like we are offering something that is healing, that makes us feel good in our hearts? And that's what led us into, because previous to this, we were already polyamorous, we were already kinky, we were already, you know, many of the other things that we offer, but we were like, what ended up happening down the line is that we actually ended up commodifying our relationship, if you will. Yeah. And that's had its setbacks. That's had its privileges. That's had such beautiful outcomes. So I'm not going to say it's all good. Sometimes it's hard. But that's what we've chosen to do. And it's been very, like, we've been very successful in doing that because even when we first met, you know, people tagged us and saw us as a power couple. And so we were like, okay, well, how do we help spread this energy into the world?
Yeah. When we met at, what would you call it? A spiritual intensive, if you will, that was out in the woods for like a week where you kind of create an intentional community for a week. You do a lot of earth-based ritual and other stuff. And we kind of found ourselves orbiting around each other and just hanging out a lot. And people would be like, God, did you guys come together? Like, how long have you guys been together? And we'd be like, how long do you think? They'd be like, I don't know, like 10 years or 5 years. I'm like, we've known each other 2 days, 2 days. And that was like the level of connectivity before any of this became part of the picture. And as Carmen was mentioning, you know, we both had worked multiple different forms of professional jobs. Like, we're kind of tired of the 40-hour a week grind, and we're just looking for something that was more interesting and more satisfying and more curious for us. For me, I'm also a lover of stories and like wide variety of experiences. And so like, Cameron was much more open to it than I was. Like, I had some previous trauma in my life that I had to kind of like get over and really sit with to be like, oh, could I do this? Could I not? And I just kind of went into it with a sense of curiosity. But more than anything, I was like, that sounds fucking fascinating. Like, let's go, let's go check that out. And also this determination of like, well, what skill sets do we have that would allow us to serve people, have fun, and make money without requiring like a huge output of energy and time, which the average job does.
You know, though to put a plug for other sex workers. Sex work is work.
It's actually a lot of work. Yeah, it's a lot
we thought that it was going to be like, oh, we won't have to work that hard and we'll just get to make a bunch of money. But we've found ourselves like now we run our own business and we actually probably work more than the average person if you count all the time and investment that we have in the process. The idea stemmed from just trying not to sit behind a desk for 40 hours a week. We still probably put in at least that much work every week because now we run our own business and we see clients and we have to market and we have to do all these other things. But it's much more fulfilling than feeling like you're just clocking in and clocking out and sitting behind a desk. So that's what keeps us energized about it.
Turn Me On Podcast will be back after this short break.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
So when you began, was the dominatrix, was that the route that you both individually took first? And then like from that, how did you come to the idea to like work together as a team?
Well, we did both. So yes and yes. So we started with the dominatrix work because we already had plenty of kink-based experience and experience around consent. And I think both of us, you know, it was like kind of like a, we didn't know what it was going to be like, right? Like you hear a lot of different types of stories around sex work that, you know, some are really great stories, some are really terrible. Many of them are like dependent upon like the relative privilege of the sex worker themselves and the type of work that they're engaging in. And so it seemed natural, like, when you work as a dominatrix, there's already an understood built-in power dynamic that I think felt safer for us at first. Certainly for me, as someone who had experienced sexual-based trauma like earlier in my life, like that felt much safer to me. But we already started working together from the beginning. Like we would take individual clients, but the offering of the two of us as like double doming someone was a thing from the beginning. It wasn't something that we segued into. It was, this was a project that has had many forms, but it's always included like three elements. Like you can see Cameron alone, you can see Riley alone, or you can see both of us or some combination therein. You can see one of us for a little while and then the other person can come in. Like it really is dependent upon like the needs, desires, fantasies of the person that we're in service to at that moment.
I really love your website. I think I was perusing it and just sort of marveling how it was all of the things that I would want if I were looking for a sex worker. Like it's clear, it's your language is very accessible and friendly and encouraging, and beautiful imagery as well. So as from a business standpoint, it seems like what's out there is a really great representation of what you do. How can you have a website for this kind of work out there in the world when it's not really allowed, you know, like when it's.
It was an interesting thing. If we look back on how did this seed grow into something bigger, it started out as just like conversations between the two of us. At the time, we were living in a place where we didn't have a lot of work opportunities, as I was saying earlier, like because we were like really overqualified for a lot of the positions that were available in the place that we were living. And so we were like, how can we get creative? How can we figure out, you know, maybe entrepreneurship is actually like the best place for us to go based on our past skills and based on what we have just in our personal lives. And so when we would sort of sit and couch talk about it, pillow talk about it, just like, what would it be like if we, it actually like started out, honestly, it was like, maybe we could sell dirty panties on the internet. that was the first thing.
That's for a lot of people.
That's how it starts for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's like
wait,
it's like,
someone would pay me for my dirty underwear? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I can sell dirty underwear for $50 and yeah. not even have to be there for the transaction. That's great.
We're still open to it, but I can't say we've ever actually sold a single pair of dirty underwear.
That being said, I have sold a pair of dirty socks to a foot fetishist that was like a great beloved client in New Orleans who had to move north, stay with some friends in Mississippi. Then COVID happened. And just like when he came as a client, like, first of all, I want to say that like clients who fully own like who they are, what they love and their kinks, like so much, I have so much love and respect for them. Like this guy came in and he was just like, I want you to like, not change your socks or your shoes for like 3 days. Like that's what he wanted from me. Nice. Yeah. And he was just like, oh, he just like couldn't get enough of it, which, you know, it might not be my kink as the person to receive, you know, like I I'm not like a foot bottom, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like just to watch someone be able to fully and authentically be themselves, I think is really what people get out of their work with us. And so when COVID happened, we decided to leave New Orleans for a lot of different reasons. But so we moved back to the Pacific Northwest, and I was still in contact with this client, and he was just like, I miss our session so much. They meant so much to me. And I was like, well, I could send you dirty socks and you can jerk off to them or something. Or I think we even made some video. We don't usually make video content. It's not usually our thing. But for this particular client, we decided to, you know, make homemade video content for him so that he could at least have that, because where he was staying, there really wasn't going to be any access for him to get his needs met around that stuff. Right. So no dirty panties quite yet. Like you can email us about it. We're totally down to do it. But dirty socks have been done.
And hey, if you're putting it out there, I also email me if you want some of my dirty panties. I will gladly sell them. That's I'm totally down.
We get a little tangential. So I will warn you that in like the early stages of this, but to answer your question of like, how did we get a website? It was because we restrained ourselves for a bit of time. Like we didn't just like decide to be sex workers and throw up an Eros ad, or decide to be sex workers and like go on to Tryst and put ourselves out there. We actually spent months and months of research around what does it look like to be professional, to be safe, to know what to look for. And part of that was to create a really good website and to make to create screening tools and to create ways in which we could keep ourselves safe and keep doing the work. Because if in sex work, you come across law enforcement, via a client or via yourself, like it's all over. And so there's high stakes at the beginning. And so we spent a lot of time and a lot of intention in creating our first ProDom website, had professional photo shoots and launched it all at the same time. Once we felt like we had a repertoire of information and screening tools and a professional website to feel comfortable enough to enter the work.
Yeah. What I would add to that is, so when we talk to clients, you know, some clients really, they get it that like, we have a lot of skin in the game as sex work providers. And they're like, oh, of course you would need personal information on me to make sure I'm not a cop or make sure I'm not like going to come kill you or something. But like, though some people are hesitant, and like, we try to communicate to them that this is actually for mutual safety. Like it's in both of our best interests, because you don't want to be seen a sex worker who doesn't do screening. Cause then like, you know, they might have involvement with law enforcement or something like that. And so, you all have seen our most recent website, which kind of fused the kind of companionship, sacred intimacy, escorting with professional dominatrix work, but it's, so it started with one pro dom site, and we transitioned between those and entered into escorting because as much as we love the creativity and the beauty of doing pro dom work, it's also a lot of work. You know, like we had a friend of ours who was a performance artist, and she said, wait a second, someone tells you what they want. You write the script, you act it, you direct it, and you improv it. And we're like, yeah, all in an hour. She was like, oh my God. And it's like, yeah, like that's what we do. That's exactly what we do. But it's also, that's a lot of work. And so when we're moving into escorting work was more about like, how could we just be ourselves more rather than playing a role? You know, like I'm happy to play a role. It's fun.
Right.
It's like playtime creativity for adults. But like, I don't want to be someone different for every scene, every time I have to work. That's a lot of code switching in your soul. And we were just like, how do we just show up and be like our kind of like bubbly, intellectual, jokey, irreverent selves? And that's what birthed us moving into escorting work.
And how's that going? Like you just moved. So, and like it takes some time, I imagine, to build up your regulars or the people that are going to come back, and, or you move to a new place and people have to find you for the first time. Yeah. Like how's this going?
It's been interesting. I mean, there's been obviously, I think for every sex worker, there is like such a COVID complication, and some people have done different things about that. Some people have gone into like full, you know, video content. Some people have just completely been on hiatus until COVID is over. And other people have done like a middle ground, which is where we're at. We actually have still some very loyal clients from the South, extending from Mississippi through Louisiana and into Texas. As well as some people who've picked us up from New York and other places. I have a very dear client in Wisconsin, actually, who we are all still in very good contact with. COVID is like requiring us to be a little bit more, like just a little bit more cautious, a little bit more hesitant. And so then meeting people in Portland since we've been here has been interesting, because the Pacific Northwest is a much more closed off, sort of quiet society than the South is in a different way. And so we've continued to be successful. It's just had to be in a different way than we were in New Orleans, because when we were in New Orleans and COVID wasn't a thing, you know, people will travel to New Orleans all the time, and they would become our clients because they would come in from other places. So we still have this like continuous flow of people from other places in the world who we get flexible on, whether that's sending the video content and socks to them, or whether that's they plan a trip to Portland to come see us because they enjoy us so much, or whether that's because people from New Orleans fly us back to New Orleans to see mm-hmm. them for several days. Yeah. One of our dear clients in Texas has like reached out to us and said, I would love to see you guys again. I'm just waiting for coronavirus to be over so that, either I can fly up here or you can come to Dallas, and it would be really great because I miss you guys. So it's a strange time to just, you know, for everyone, regardless of the industry that you're in, to say, how are things going for you? It's like, well, yeah. You know, it's going, and we just have to be flexible about it.
Yeah, it's basically added like an additional layer of screening. Like you ask somebody kind of like what their practices have been around COVID prevention and quarantine, and we share mm-hmm. ours. It could mean taking a certain amount of time between each client to make sure that no one's symptomatic. Mm-hmm. Could be temperature checking, you know, anything that you would do anywhere else because you're going to be seeing people in person, you know. So that's one part of it. And then I would also add to it, like as Cameron mentioned, the cultural demographic is different. So in the Pacific Northwest, in places like Portland and Seattle, and even as far south as San Francisco, like certain things are not really like taboo, like queerness or transness or something like that is much less taboo, which means that it's, you know, it's in less demand, I guess you could say. Like as a trans-bodied sex worker in New Orleans, which that and outside of the rest of Louisiana is mostly Catholic, you know, being a trans feminine person was highly, highly marketable, you know, as well as like, for Cameron, like offering certain types of play that maybe clients couldn't have in their long-term marriages or something, but they wanted to do it with a cis femme presenting person. Like it's a very just different culture, you know, it's just different. Like I was, for me personally, like I was basically a lot of dudes' gateway to their queerness in New Orleans. They might not articulate it that way, but that's what I would call it. And you as well. In a different way.
I mean, I think there's like, you know, people who are queer informed and who understand what it means to be queer. And that doesn't mean that you have to be trans. Like there's still just like different ways in which throughout, you know, our puritanical culture in America, which is highly based on Western religion and, you know, men and women being together and having sex in a very specific way. People had longings, regardless of where we were in the country, people had longings to, not, you know, for men always not having to be masculine, or not always having to be the person who was penetrating someone, not always having to be the person who had to figure out what the romantic situation was going to be and lay out rose petals and make a whole story about it every time they wanted to have sex. Sometimes those people wanted to just like lay back and have someone worship them. Maybe they wanted to be penetrated. Maybe they wanted to have a certain experience that when you enter into a dynamic of a cishet marriage, that might not be available because of the shadow work that hasn't been done on both sides of those people. And so, because there's such a spectral experience of queerness, some people needed to see me like by myself, and other people like would go straight to Riley for different reasons. Because I think the ways in which they were processing their trauma around their sexuality and around their desires, because you can still be straight and want to get fucked. And that's okay. You don't have to be gay or trans or whatever, just to like want to have a prostate massage, but that's not a conversation in common, you know, cishet relationships. And so people would come to us for various reasons, sometimes they would need to see Riley's feminine body with, you know, as some of our clients say, a little something extra. And sometimes they would need to come to me because they saw me as a woman who was providing them a service of giving them a prostate massage or exploring what it looked like for me to be the dominant person in the relationship.
Something I'm really curious about is, so like Bridie and I, you know, we work together now. There was a time in our lives where we tried working together in a different capacity, and it was a fucking nightmare. We had some fun, but it was also not the greatest. But now, you know, we found this podcast together, and this is actually really lovely, and we have a lot of fun doing this together. And it's like, in many ways, it's actually brought us like, it's brought us much closer together in ways that maybe perhaps before the podcast we would never have really, maybe not never, but like would have had a more challenging time finding our way, navigating our way into that realm of being, feeling closer in those like certain ways. As a couple who work together in the realm of providing a service to others, specifically sex work, have you noticed how that's changed your dynamic together as a sexual and intimate couple? Is it one of those things where it's like when you want to be intimate together outside of work, it's like, but that's kind of work. You know, it's hard to separate work from like the personal life in the bedroom that you have together.
I don't know. I think it's a really like nuanced question. So let's just kind of like see where it goes. Mm. But for me, like sex work. So when I do sex work with someone, I can feel very fond for them. I feel like it's very sacred. And I can or can't find them attractive, depends on the person. But that's completely different than the type of attraction that I feel for my partner. So there is a very clear differentiation between work and home. And we're all human. We have finite energy and, you know, we can be tired or not always available, which is really no different than being in a relationship anyway. Where you might be in different places at different times, and some people, one person might want to fuck and one person doesn't, or, you know, whatever. And we have a lot of other life circumstances that kind of, like we've just got a lot of spinning plates, shall we say, in our lives. Right. And so it can be kind of hard, and I wouldn't attribute it all to sex work. I would say like, the ways that sex work has brought us together, and I want to expand it beyond just like our sexual relationship, because I think that's just like a very small part of it.
Of course.
Some of the beauties and like increased intimacy of doing this work together and collaborating, like it's had different stages, like initial talks about desires and boundaries. I mean, that's increased intimacy, honesty, truth. Like this, you get to see me for who I am, what I'm good about, what I'm not good for, etc. It was basically like having professional poly talk or something you know, and you get to know each other more deeply and different things come up. Like we had different boundaries about what we would and wouldn't do in sex work at the beginning than we have now. You know, and a lot of that had to do with trust, with like expanding trust between us and not feeling frightened. We've also gotten to like really hone how we work well together as a couple. Like Cameron is very visionary, and it receives a lot of like inspirational sort of downloads, but then like kind of spits them out. And then it's kind of like, well, how do we make that reality? And then like that, and then I'm really good at that part. Like, I'm not necessarily coming up with the big ideas all the time, but I was like, I can manifest that and make that happen. Like, I can totally show you how to do that. And so we've gotten to do a lot of creative development work together that most couples don't do. And we just, I don't know, we kind of like became, it's one of the ways that you become an organism, you know, in a relationship. I feel like I've been talking a while. What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I would say like at the beginning, you know, for as much research and intention that we had around the ways in which we created our initial like pro-dom business, it was always fluid. It was always like, how's this going for you? How's it going for us? You know, are we sharing the work equally? And so we had that separate, you know, let's say we owned an accounting business or something. It would be no different, because when you are in partnership and you are also coworkers, as dry as that sounds, I don't mean it to be, but, you know, you have, there's still a certain part of the business and the marketing and the other things that you have to do that create like this organismal thing. And it's always, for anybody who has ever operated a small business, you cannot just throw something out and then never change it and never expand on it and never readdress, is this still working for us? Are people still coming to us? Do we still have, you know, a good marketing scheme? And so for the last 3 years, we've had to just be constantly reassessing that back and forth and back and forth. Mm. And that's both interpersonal as well as just, you know, like very like dry and, you know, cerebral around what do our numbers look like? How's our marketing looking, et cetera. And so at least for the interpersonal stuff, we have created certain rituals and certain boundaries for our life, because what happens, especially when you work in business together as partners, is like, how do you ever turn that off? How do you ever stop answering emails when you're on a date? Mm. How do you mm-hmm. ever feel like, oh, you know, Riley, you went on a date and I've been home, and then you come home and then we are supposed to click back into a relationship. So we have certain practices around how and when we answer emails, how and when we do marketing. And we've basically carved out time for ourselves during certain days, taken certain days and said, we're not going to take clients on these days because we need to spend time together to right. reinvigorate our relationship. And we need to have a certain level of ritual around if we are working separately. And I would say that goes even when we're working together, like how do we bring down the idea that we are coworkers or business partners and shift back into just being humans together, which, you know, to be honest, isn't that much different than we are in our sex work life. But, and that's what makes it hard for us to sometimes differentiate. And then it feels like, wow, all we've been doing all week is working and we haven't really connected individually and together around our relationship that we have come to market.
Hmm. The last thing I'd say, you mentioned you led the question with like, how has it affected your sex life? I would say that like the one way that it's affected our sex life more around kink and BDSM is that when we are working with a client in that realm, we're almost always topping or doming. And so it takes a lot of energy. And so we've kind of had this ongoing thing of like, which of us has the spoons to be top? You know, and like there'll be times when we're both tired and be like, I can't do it. Like me neither. Do you want to just like jerk off next to each other or something? Like there's been a lot of that sometimes where it's like we try not to keep tabs on it. But like that's one challenge where it's like, as I mentioned before, as humans, we just have finite energy sometimes.
Yeah.
And when we are using that in service to other people, We might not always have it readily available for each other when we would prefer. And that's just, that just comes with the territory and something that we've tried to work with, or I don't know, try to get creative with, but it's, it moves around.
We've made it work. Mm-hmm. We've made it work. We don't feel more disconnected because of the fact that we work together. It's just sometimes jerking off next to each other is like really awesome. And it like doesn't require a lot of output and a lot of implements or anything else. It's just sort of like awesome.
It's kind of deliciously selfish as well. You don't have to. I have a question about shadow work. It was something that jumped out at me from your email because it's a term that I've been hearing more and more of, but we've actually never talked to anybody on the show about that. And I would love to hear from your own minds, what is shadow work in the context, especially of like an intimate relationship?
So, I mean, shadow work, I would say, are perspectives, ideas, behaviors that we've either inherited or developed that are like maybe dysfunctional coping strategies as a result of the things that happened to us when we were young or things that didn't happen for us that show up in the crucible of relationship. So I believe that one of the main spiritual purposes of relationship in general is for us to be a rock tumbler for each other and like create a safe enough space where we can own our shit and try to let certain things go and be a better version of ourselves and of service to the other person, as well as taking care of ourselves. So I would say that shadow work is anything that gets in the way of that goal. You know, so I'll give you some personal examples. Like for me, I was someone who kind of had to raise myself as well as a younger sibling. There was a lot of neglect in my home. So I became pretty hyper independent, but also wasn't seen or appreciated that much. And so I can have in my shadow a lot of attention seeking and other types of trauma that I've had young. The type of attention that really gets me off is like sexualized attention. And so those are things that can show up in the context of both our relationship, but also in our work, where I might have had like blinders on to the ways in which the opportunities for both of us to do sex work were out of balance for a period of time, where like I was like kind of more self-centeredly focused on like the clients who wanted to come see me or me getting to work. And like, you know, Cameron had to call me in about that stuff, you know, and in different ways I've had to change my behavior or learn to do things differently. So because my intention is to have a relationship that's based in love, respect, and equity, and that's required change on my part. You know, and sex work, I think, is just what it does is it turns up the volume on all of that stuff that's there anyway. You know, I mean, what would you say some of the shadow that you've faced has been?
I mean, I think for me, you know, if we're going back, you know, as Riley was saying, a lot of our shadow comes from times when we were younger and we didn't really have a pulse. We were just trying to navigate life and figure out how to be an adult. And so then once we become an adult, it, you know, it is necessary for every single adult to look at the ways in which they are behaving, look at the ways in which they're showing up in the world, and know that it's not perfect, but like, how could we make it a little better? How could we look back at some of the things, though some of them are terrifying, some of them are, you know, disturbing, but saying, you know, because this XYZ thing happened to me, I behave in this way. And I don't want to do that anymore because I want to evolve and I want to be a better person. And maybe nobody taught me how to do that. A personal example for me is I grew up in a family that, it was a wide extended family, where I had lots and lots and lots of people in my childhood home, multi-generational, lots of cousins, lots of siblings. And, I didn't have a sense of individuation. I was seen as like a part of a pack, a part of a herd, if you will. And so now that I'm an adult, I often still am unable to see the ways in which I am valuable as an individual. And it's taken a lot of time. And, you know, sometimes I don't tweet that much about myself. Sometimes I can't recognize the ways in which I'm valuable to other people. And I also, on top of that, when I am told by clients, friends, other poly partners, whatever, you're really awesome, you're really beautiful, you're really this or that, I like can't take it in. Like, you know, it feels like I have armor on or something. And it's not because I don't want to take it in, but it's been an ongoing practice for me. And so getting to do sex work alongside just my regular life has really helped me to open up more and be like, yeah, cool. People think I'm awesome for being just the individual human being that I am. And it doesn't always have to be alongside Riley. Like, there's people who seek me out because they think I'm cool by myself. Mm-hmm. And it's required a lot of devotion from Riley to be like, why are you hiding? Why are you not putting yourself out there more? Like, you're really cool. And literally no client has ever said like, that was a terrible time, I don't ever want to see you again, because it's usually
the opposite.
But I sometimes still have a hard time believing them. And that's just something that I'm still working on.
Yeah. And this is also a place where like those two topics can kind of dovetail for us and either create challenges or strengths in our relationship. Like,
right.
Like I will put forward a lot of energy in promoting myself and then, you know, I'll get more clients. Cameron maybe isn't initially inclined to do that. And so it generates this imbalance, which could create some resentment or some challenge in our relationship. But then we can talk about it and say, okay, like, well, here, let me promote you. Let me, because it's hard for you to see yourself. Let me try to communicate to other people like how awesome you are, because I know you very deeply. And I also know you as a sex worker as well. And trying to like equalize that a little bit more, which has been an imperfect process as well. But once the shadow, I mean, this is the thing. It's like shadow can only perpetuate itself when it's unseen. You know, when you shine a light on it and you're honest and you can own it and you're in a loving container that you've created in a relationship where you can have conflict and someone can mirror to you some of the things that might be a little harder to see about oneself, like that creates the possibility for change. And I think that's true for any kind of relationship, whether it's a friendship or a partnership, romantic or otherwise. But as I said, like, I think working together in work that's like very intense in a certain way, like this is a very charged form of work. It brings all of that to the forefront very quickly, you know, and you either face it or you don't.
And in our case, if we hadn't, we would probably be broken up and
yeah, we wouldn't be working together,
doing a desk job again.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a friend, a spirit worker friend of ours in New Orleans, was talking about the spirit of New Orleans, but I think this applies. He said, you know, this is a place that it shows you all your shit and you either face it or it consumes you. And that's very true about New Orleans as a place. It can be beautiful, but also it could be very painful. But I think that's true about relationship as well. It's like you either
Definitely. You either
face it or the dysfunction continues and it continues to corrode things from the inside, or you face your own stuff individually and collectively and emerge ideally as a stronger whole. You know, with a W.
It's amazing how...
Or an H. I mean, it could go both ways.
Yeah, it definitely can.
It's a hole if you don't face it.
That's right. That's right. Sorry, Brady, go ahead. I cut you off.
Oh, it's just amazing how when people are doing work on themselves, and I really love and appreciate everything you just said, because, you know, we can lock ourselves up and be impenetrable, not close to anyone, and safe with all of our stuff intact. Safe. Or we open ourselves into a relationship. Yeah. Into relationship with other people, whether it's long-term relationships, whether it's poly relationships, whether it's relationship with clients and sex work. Everybody at some point has the capacity to hold the mirror up to you and go, hey, you know, you get a little defensive when I ask you this thing, like maybe you can work on your defensiveness, or they say it in a way that's not as friendly and encouraging, and you go, fuck, this is going to be a thing forever. Yeah. I've been in multiple relationships and I'm having multiple people call this shit on me. So I can't just bail on this person because I don't like the way that they're seeing this like negative side of me, and I could cut them out and pretend that it doesn't exist, or I could go and do the hard work on myself, which is uncomfortable and unpleasant. But at the same time, I can feel really grateful to my partner for pointing it out and telling me, because they think that there's something I can actually do about it that will make not only their life a lot easier, but probably make my life a lot easier, not just in this relationship, but in my whole life. Cause you know, one of my favorite sort of sayings is like, the way you do something is the way you do everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, or wherever you go, there you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah. For anyone listening to this, I find a really nice practice when doing my own sort of, although I'd never called it shadow work, but when I'm working on my own sort of shadowy self, is to say things to myself, to my defensiveness, let's say, thank you. You were a coping mechanism designed to keep me safe at one point in my life, and you're no longer relevant for this situation and for the life that I want to lead. So, honoring that those dysfunctional coping mechanisms for the purpose that they did serve at one point, and graciously allowing your people to hold mirrors up to you.
Yeah, it's a great gift if someone can do that in a skillful way that doesn't generate further defensiveness or strife, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's at the beginning of the interview, I don't know if we were recording or not, but you know, y'all are in Canada and we are in the United States, and you know, us politically and socially, we're witnessing, you know, deep polarization and uncertainty and anxiety and tension. And much of that stems from what I would call the inability to stay, which is to like the inability to sit and listen with an open heart to someone else's experience and to like monitor your body, monitor your defensiveness, take responsibility for it rather than reacting or lashing out. And that's the case in any relationship, whether it's on like an individual or a collective level. And we're going to do couples therapy right after this. Like, we're going to get off and talk with you and go do couples therapy.
The work is never finished.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Cam and Riley, where can... Is it kosher for me to say, where can people find you?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
All right, yeah, where can people find you and see what you're up to and follow along?
Our main website is Girlfriends Experience, plural, so G-I-R-L, I can't even spell out loud, Girlfriends, with an S, experiencepdx.com. That's our main website, which should link you to both our Twitters and Instagrams. Mm. Mine is CamBPDX on Instagram and CameronBPDX on Twitter.
And on Twitter, mine is Riley Delacroix, spelled R-I-L-E-Y-D-E-L-A-C-R-O-I-X, and then the number 1. That's for Twitter, Riley Delacroix 1. And then for Instagram, it's just Riley Delacroix. And, you know, we change content on there. We add, you know, pictures and thoughts and a variety of other things. I mean, these podcasts, as well as Twitter and Instagram in particular, are ways for people to get to know us a little bit more personally, beyond kind of what we write about ourselves. So I think that stuff is important as well. Because we're evolving, we're also evolving, and you know, we thank clients anonymously on there. We talk about, I don't know, we riff. You can get to know us, and that's cool. Our goal is to develop intimacy with people, even if it's just for an hour, you know.
Yeah, and you're welcome to link this stuff in your show notes if you do that as well.
Yeah, we definitely will. This has been really nice to sit down and get to know the two of you. Thank you for sharing everything that you did. And it means a lot. Thanks a lot.
Cool. Yeah, thank you both as well.
And there you go. That's that. I hope you enjoyed our chat with those two lovely folks down south of the border. Listen, if you enjoyed that and you want more, more content, and really specific content, like just pictures of butts, you can follow us on Instagram at Turn Me On Podcast. And if you want more content like that or more visual content, you can follow us on Patreon, patreon.com/turnmeon, where we are recording our intros to all of these episodes and into the future. We have a lot of fun with that.
It's been really fun.
It is fun. I love it. I really do love it. It's great.
I really love it too. And I feel like, I don't know if many of our patrons are joining us over there and actually
they are
watching, but I feel like this is how I would like to listen to my podcast if I subscribe to more of them.
See
the person.
It's fun to see. It's fun to see it. Also, just so you know, our Patreon, there's merch over there as well. We've got a couple people receiving some of their merch this month, some t-shirts going out and a couple of other things. So again, patreon.com/turnmeon. Go check it out. And if you want to be
some of our patrons have gotten like several of our merch items. Molly, I'm talking to you. I would love to see them. Patreon fulfills these. So if you got one of our things, send us a photo.
Chuck it up on your social media. We dare you. If you want to take a risk and show the world that you listen to this smut. and hey, if you want to be a part of this smut, turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up there or reach us on our website, turnmeonpodcast.com/contact. And we're always looking for new guests. We're always looking for new interesting stories and or recommendations for people that you'd love to hear on the show. So hit us up there. And I think that's it for this week. Until next week. Did I cut you
go
off there?
Go pleasure.
No,
I just thought we changed that because I was like, I don't want that line anymore, but you can have that line or we can just get rid of the line.
I am not getting rid of that line. I think everyone in the world should go fuck themselves at least once a day, unless you're fucking somebody else.
Unless you have other plans.
So
that's what my dad used to say. Have a great day unless you have other plans. So go fuck yourself. Unless you have other plans.
All right, yeah, great. All right. Well, that's how this podcast ended today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.